Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk a little bit more about bump stock modifications for semi-automatic weapons and whether or not they're legal here in Massachusetts. Let's turn to State Representative David Linsky. He's a Democrat of Natick, and he's filed a bill to ban such devices in the state. Representative Linsky, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I should note that you filed it in the House, and Republican State Senator Bruce Tarr has filed a bill in the Senate as well. So it seems that as if there's a lot of action on Beacon Hill right now about this. What specifically would your legislation change in the state?
So my bill actually has two parts. The first part would be to close a loophole in our laws regarding not only bump stocks, but other devices that increase the rate of fire of an otherwise legal semi-automatic rifle, turning them into virtual automatic weapons or machine guns.
So like any such devices, there's like cranks and things like that.
Right. You see, one thing that I've learned, and I've been involved in gun violence prevention for years and years, is that as soon as the government, in either the federal government or in the states, writes a law, the gun manufacturers alter their manufacturing and design and come up with a way around the law.
Mm-hmm.
That happened with the various assault weapons bans over the past couple of decades.
Yeah.
So you can't just put bump stocks or other named devices in the law. You have to describe the action, and that's what my bill does.
I see. And would it include, I mean, we've been reading, for example, about folks who, you know, could make these modifications on a home 3D printer, for example. So would it include homemade modifications?
That's absolutely right. My legislation, and this is different from the ones that the Republicans file, would ban the ownership, the possession, the sale, or the offering of sale, or the manufacture of these items as well.
Right. Now, your bill also proposes banning large capacity feeding devices, so high capacity magazines. And we've already got something of regulations around that in Massachusetts. But basically, right, currently, if you owned one before 1994, it's okay. But your bill would seek to change that entirely.
Yeah, it's more than just owned it before 1994. There's a loophole in the law that you could drive a Mack truck through here. See, what happens is that when the legislature years ago passed the ban on large capacity magazines, they grandfathered in any magazine that was manufactured prior to 1994.
Uh-huh.
The problem with that is that magazines, when they're made, don't have either a serial number or any other identification that you can tell when they were manufactured. So it's a law that's on the books, but it is absolutely impossible to enforce.
Okay, so
my bill would close that grandfather loophole.
Okay, so then from a practical enforcement standpoint, I mean, how would it be enforced if that loophole gets closed? Because, you know, the Gun Owners Action League has said that they do have concerns about banning magazines that are already in circulation. They're saying, you know, how do you accomplish that? It turns into confiscation.
Right. So what Connecticut did, they passed a similar ban following the Sandy Hook tragedy. And what they did is that they had a grace period before the law went into effect where you could either register your non-conforming magazines with a law enforcement agency. They set up a registration system, or you had to turn them in, the same that we do in a gun buyback program. We need to get these large capacity magazines out of circulation as best as we possibly can.
Yeah.
The current law, while it's well-intentioned, limiting it to 10 rounds, just because of that loophole, it's virtually unenforced.
Representative Linsky, we just got a couple seconds left, so one last quick question to you. I mean, the governor has said if a bill lands on his desk, he would sign it. So how fast do you think the House and Senate can come together and get something in front of him?
I'm urging the legislative leadership, the House Speaker and the Senate President, to get this going really quickly. I filed my bill on Wednesday afternoon. It immediately picked up about 20 or so co-sponsors in the first couple hours, and has more than that now. There's a lot of support. We can't wait for Congress to go out and take action on this because they've proven that they're incapable of doing it.
That's Representative David Linsky, Democrat of Natick. Thanks so much for joining us again, Representative.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Well, we've got an update now on a story we brought to you earlier this year. You remember Fearless Girl, the diminutive bronze statue that was placed in a provocative stare down across from Wall Street's raging Bronze Bull. Now, that statue was put up on the eve of International Women's Day and brought to the world by Boston-based State Street Corporation. The company was laudably calling attention to the gender pay gap and lack of diversity on corporate boards. Well, this update, and perhaps you can guess where it's going, this week it was reported that a federal investigation found that State Street underpaid female and black executives. The Department of Labor report found that pay gaps persisted at State Street even after investigators accounted for, quote, legitimate factors. Now, State Street denies any wrongdoing, but it's agreed to pay a $5 million settlement. A spokesperson says that the investigation focused on executive pay at the Boston headquarters for just the period between 2010 and 2011. State Street disagreed with the findings, but decided to bring the six-year-old matter to a resolution. Now, they also added in a statement, State Street is committed to equal pay practices and evaluates an ongoing basis our internal processes to be sure our compensation, hiring, and promotions programs are non-discriminatory. End quote. So perhaps just one lesson here, if I may. A statue creates powerful awareness, but fair oversight creates change. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.